You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
From our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Gym Class for a Friday coming your way here in KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. And you, the listener out there on this Friday. Thanks for tuning in. 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM, that is in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream. KGYM mobile app, well, please download that if you haven't done so already. And it's download the brand new version of it and your smart speaker. And if you miss anything over the last week or a little bit prior to that, you can go back and listen on our podcasts, which are available at Apple or Spotify or at our website at kgymradio.com. Plenty to get to today as Scott Docterman covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic. We'll join us. We'll talk spring football with Scott, wrap up the basketball season as well. A little bit of Iowa basketball news in the form of a former Hawkeye today. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, day number two at Augusta National, the Masters, as the cut has been not set yet, but it's looking pretty good as where it is going to fall. And we'll talk about that with you out there. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. And I feel like we should start off the show, Mark. First of all, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott.
I feel we're burying the lead today, and the lead should be the fact that an Illinois men's basketball big man is declared for the draft.
And not even a starter.
And it's not Kofi Coburn. Yeah.
What is Georgie thinking?
I don't know. Well, Georgie wants to go play overseas, it sounds like. He would have one more year of eligibility, but it sounds he would have two, actually. But he is going to go hardship and put his name into the draft. He's not going to be drafted. I don't think we're really breaking news out there. But I definitely, that was the biggest double take I have had, and it just makes me shake my head. I understand. I think he just wants to go back overseas, make a good living. That's a little bit better than a lot of people that we're going to hear of in the next couple of weeks or so that are going to put their names into the draft that basically you have averaged a little bit more than, what, 5.1 points a game, but still have no business putting their name into the NBA draft. I do this every year. What is harder for me to take? 1,200 in the transfer portal or 150 in the NBA draft?
Well, that's a tough choice.
That's anymore, our poll question. Portal, that's Scott's poll question today. Oh, brother. We face it every year, though.
Yeah, anymore. I think it used to be declaring for the NBA draft, but I think more and more it's the portal. And Georgie, I can't pronounce your last name, proved that today.
Yeah, no doubt. 319-366-1600. 8186, thank you very much for this. Accident on 380, southbound near Wilson Avenue. So not far from our studios here at KGYM and Z102.9. So, if you're on southbound I-380 near the Wilson Avenue exit, you might want to find a different route out there. So do have an accident that is out there. Besides our backup center friend from the University of Illinois, plenty going on today. And let's start off in Augusta as it is day two of the Masters. A lot better scoring conditions today. The wind is down a little bit. It's overcast. not quite as fast and firm. They had a little bit of rain overnight, not a ton, but a little bit of rain overnight. And the scores have rebounded. They're not outstanding, but a lot more red numbers on the scoreboard today.
Many more rounds in the 60s. That did not include first-round leader Justin Rose, who rebounded to scrape out a 72 today. He has a two-stroke lead over Mark Leishman and Jordan Spieth. They shot 67 and 68, respectively. Bern Wiesberger and Tony Finau each shot 66. They are tied for fourth with Justin Thomas, Brian Harman, and Siwoo Kim. Many others made a move today. Bryson DeChambeau, after shooting a 76 in the first round, responded with a 67. One of our Cedar Rapids natives, Zach Johnson, he will not see the weekend. Zach shot a 2-over par 74 and finished 36 holes at plus 7. Cut line right now at plus 3. And it looked for a little while that Zach might make a move towards that cut line. Today he birdied 11 and 12 consecutively to get it to plus 5. And you think, well, a couple par 5s left. He could get it down to 3, maybe 2. Hit the 13th green and 2, but 3 putted. And I think the air went out of the balloon right there. And the other par 5, Zach hit the ball in the water on his second shot. And really it was the par 5s that cost Zach as much as anything. He was 3 over par on the par 5s in 2 rounds. And really, if you want to be serious about things, you need to be about 3 under after 2 rounds on the par 5s. So Zach will not make the weekend, and he really needed something in the 60s today, which may have been unreasonable because Zach's best round at Augusta in 17 appearances is 68. So good try, not good enough.
No, and you mentioned some of the folks that had good rounds today. Do not discount Bryson DeChambeau. 5 under par, 67 today for the long hitter. Cameron Smith also jumping up today. He was at 4 under par for his round. A lot of big names. As they say, Mark, they are lurking right now. Justin Rose had a horrible start to his round today. Had it all the way down to what? At one point, I think 4 over par. He was at 3 under for the tournament. And he was struggling, but he did get it going again. Jordan Spieth is right there. He shot a 68 today. Tony Finau, as you mentioned, got back into it. Brian Harman just airmailed 15, almost hit it into the water on 16 on the 15th, but did not. So he is right there. 319-366-1600. As we come your way on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. 6936 asking what age is the senior tour or the champions tour? Zach is 45. 50 is the start point for the champions tour. The fountain of youth, as they say, Mark.
Well, that's true, but don't push him out the door yet. You've seen guys like Davis Love and Steve Stricker and others win tournaments into their 40s. So while Zach may be on the downhill side of things on the PGA Tour, he's still competing at a pretty high level, just not what, you know, in his best years. And by the way, we have a poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew in Iowa City. At this point, who do you think will win the Masters? Would it be Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, or someone else?
Why is Cameron Smith on there?
Well, he's playing well. I think last year, or was it November or the year prior, he shot all 4 rounds in the 60s, didn't win.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, but he's tied for 10th right now at 2 under, 5 back, after shooting 68 today. So, yeah. What about Will Zalatoris, your nemesis, huh? Three under par, and he's in ninth place.
Oh, well.
How long ago was fighting to get on the Corn Ferry Tour?
And now is fighting to get top tens. Hey, you know what? A tip of the hat to Jose Maria Olazabal. Speaking of the over 50 crowd, he's going to make the weekend. Shot 71 today. He is at plus two for the tournament. So good for him. DJ just got a birdie, so he looks like he's on the correct side of the cut line, which is right now at plus three. There are 56 golfers that are plus three or above, and 15 golfers are within three shots if you discount Justin Rose up there. So going to be a fun weekend.
A lot of good players appear to not be headed to the weekend. Brooks Koepka at plus five. He's got a whole another nine to play. Lee Westwood, plus five with another nine to play. Rory McIlroy at plus six. He's got 10 holes to play. Some of the better golfers in the world, Jason Day is not going to make it. He's plus eight, and on and on. I mean, this course can really get you, although it was gettable today.
Yes, my dark horse pick will not be around for the weekend. No. Sungjae Im had a tough day today with a number with a score with an eight in front of it. We lost Ralph. Ralph, come back. 319-366-1600. Our friend Ralph from Riverside was going to join us and give a couple thoughts about the Masters. Call us back, Ralph. Again, 319-366-1600. Now we're getting all sorts of Champions Tour questions. Fuzzy Zeller, how's he doing on the Champions Tour? He's not really playing much in the Champions Tour, if at all. Fuzzy actually is having more success with his vodka, Fuzzy's vodka, than he is playing golf right now. So I think he's more concerned about that than playing golf. But yes, he did say it was going to be like taking candy from a baby on the Champions Tour.
Did he sponsor one of the IndyCar drivers?
Ed Carpenter. Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, your friend Will Zalatoris with a birdie on 16 to go to 4-under.
I'm watching, Scott.
Oh, just more money for Jeff Johnson. 17 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We'll keep you updated on what's happening at Augusta National with the Masters as that continues with the second round today. We mentioned Iowa basketball news with a former Hawkeye. And we found out the landing spot for former Hawk Jack Nungi today, Mark. Wanted to go play closer to home, obviously, after the death of his father, the untimely death of his dad. Wanted to be closer to his mother in southern Indiana. And a lot of people speculated that, probably not going to be Evansville, not going to be a Missouri Valley Conference team. Who was it going to be? A lot of people said IU. I, for once, never thought that it was going to be the case because I know that he did not want to play against the Hawks. And he is close to home, and he is in a pretty good program. He's going to be playing his college basketball with the Xavier Musketeers in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he moves from the Big Ten to the Big East, and really a quality program. Cincinnati, not very far from Newburgh, Indiana, where the Nungi home is. Xavier was 13-8 last year, 6-7 in the league. Like many programs, it missed seven games because of COVID-19 for whatever reason, whether it was in their program or an opponent's program. But Cincinnati or Xavier had been searching for a big man to fill out their roster. And, you know, whatever Jack Nungi does, I think many people just hope that he can stay healthy because he has demonstrated he can get a double-double here and there and be effective. But the injuries have just really caught up with him. Hopefully he recovers from this latest injury and can just have a productive rest of his career.
Yeah, hope so. Wish nothing but the best for Mr. Nungy. And I think a good landing spot. A good landing spot for him in the Big East. That's not the biggest news out of Cincinnati, Ohio, in the college basketball world today. Cincinnati has parted ways with Coach John Brannan. After 2 years, only 2 years, there's an internal investigation going on right now, according to The Athletic. A rift between Brannan and his players has developed. They had a 12-11 year. They had COVID problems for the Bearcats and came from Northern Kentucky, had a really good program going from Division II to Division I, and just I thought it would be a good fit, just wasn't a good fit. And he is out as far as head coaching at Cincinnati is concerned.
Yeah, another opening. There's been several high-profile openings in college basketball this offseason. Some have been filled, some have not been. But Cincinnati's another good program, and a lot of good programs in the state of Ohio. And Cincinnati's certainly one of them, despite this latest issue with its coach and the riff with the players.
Yeah, certainly the case out there. 319-366-1600 as we come your way at 21 past 3 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Again, we'll keep you updated on the Masters Tournament. Let you know about Jack Nungy. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman here in just a little bit and get his thoughts about Hawkeye Spring Football, which is underway, of course. Iowa State spring football underway. We're going to talk about that coming up next week. Ben Visser covers the Cyclones for the Gazette. He's going to join us. We'll also talk to later in the week, I think a week from today, Leah Vann's going to join us, who is now at the Cedar Rapids Gazette covering the Iowa Hawkeye football team. So a lot of football talk in the offing. And you got baseball going on, of course, the second weekend of the season. And it's a weird Friday. Not a whole lot of games going on. Twins are off today. Second consecutive Friday that the Twins are off, which is a little bit unusual. And they will continue their series against the Seattle Mariners coming up tomorrow. A few scores. Afternoon games going on. Third inning. Slugfest down at Tampa at the Trop. Rays and the Yankees, it's 5-4 in the top of the fourth inning. Tampa on top. They're just underway between the Dodgers and the Nationals. And they'll be getting underway at the bottom of the hour between San Francisco and Colorado. And that's it. The rest of the games coming up this evening. Tough news about Cedar Rapids native A.J. Puck with the Oakland A's. Just came back, just got back to the majors, and another injury has cropped up for him. So that's too bad to see.
Yeah, I think I read it's a bicep issue in his throwing arm, his left arm. And, man, he's gone through a string of issues as well. And you just hope that young man can get healthy and get on with his major league career. And yeah, it's really a strange day. Only 10 major league games. I don't know what the reason is for that. Maybe that's not that big a deal. Probably isn't. But you mentioned the Dodgers getting their World Series rings today. And is that going to be an annual thing, Scott?
They might have to schedule next year's a little bit early. It's early. It's early in the season. And there's a long, long way to go, and a lot of strange things can happen. But, boy, the Dodgers, they're off to another good start, look very, very good again. And if you missed our conversation that we had talking baseball on Tuesday with Mike Petrillo, well, you can go back and listen to that on our podcast at KGYMradio.com, as well as Apple or Spotify. You can go back and listen to that. You see Mercedes home run?
I did.
Player of the week, by the way. if you had had, what were the odds for that to happen out of the chute as your American League Player of the Week?
Well, if you're going to pick a White Sox player, it probably wouldn't have been him.
No, it would not have.
Off to a blazing start. There's no question about it.
I'm not banking on the fact that this is going to keep up, by the way. But it's fun to watch right now. It's kind of fun to watch. By the way, I don't know if he's going to make the cut. He's right on the cut line, but man alive, Ian Poulter's got some great pants going today.
He usually wins the fashion award, I think. There's year in and year out, no doubt about it. And looks like he may play the weekend, and folks have the chance to check out his garb on the weekend.
Holy cow. It's a tartan. It's a green tartan type thing with a Masters yellow and white there. And it's interesting because you get a lot of the big name golfers are given new pieces of wardrobe or new hats or new shoes to wear specifically for majors, because the clothing and outfitters, etc., want to put out their latest line and latest style, if you will. And you see that with the golfers. Like Jordan Spieth yesterday, of course, he's with Under Armour, and he had a brand new Under Armour hat that he debuted. And you've got a lot of bright pink, day-glow pink hats out there. Brooks Koepka was wearing one. I think Casey also had one, some of the Nike guys out there. So it's not only the Masters, Mark, but it's also a fashion statement a little bit.
Yeah, I think golfers have as many sponsors on their clothes as NASCAR drivers have on their fire suits. You know, I don't know. It's a little more subtle. You see stickers on the sleeve and on the collar, whatnot. Part of the game.
It is. It's fun. 319-366-1600, 26 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the show. And we've got baseball coming up tomorrow for you. The Yankees and the Rays will have that Saturday matinee for you. We've got Twins baseball. We've got basketball coming up tomorrow night as well, the NBA. And then Sunday night baseball coming up as well. This Sunday evening, you can go to our website at kgymradio.com and take a look at what we have as far as our upcoming sports schedule is concerned. Twins and the Mariners continue their series, and that will be coming up tomorrow at 12:30, an afternoon game from Target Field on 107.5 FM. Lakers in Brooklyn tomorrow night, and that will be at 7 o'clock right here. And then Philadelphia and Atlanta on Sunday Night Baseball, coming up at 5 o'clock this Sunday, right here on KGYM. All right, we will take a break, come back, and Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us, and we'll take a look at Iowa football as they get into the spring, wrap up the basketball season as well, and we'll do that with Doc right after this. You're listening to a Friday edition of the Gym Class. It's coming your way right here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream and mobile app, and your smart speaker. Back with more after this.
I'm so excited that baseball is back. There's nothing like watching a game with great weather and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, and when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code KUHN to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 17 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800 Bets off.
Heading to the Solid Waste Agency on a Saturday? You need an appointment. Just make one at solidwasteagency.org. Saturday appointments help keep the lines down and traffic moving at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. So if you want to drop off recycling or garbage at the landfill or resource recycling building on a Saturday, you need an appointment. If that's not your thing, stop by during the week, because no appointment is needed Monday through Friday. Get details at solidwasteagency.org. Stay safe out there.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Cedar Rapids is the cereal capital of the world, and Fong's Pizza has been known to take what you think you know about pizza and turn it upside down. So it only makes sense we'd find a way to take cereal and make it into a delectable pizza. And we've done just that, taking your favorite cereals, Fruit Loops, Crunch Berry, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and turning them into awesome pizzas. Try one today, only at Fong's Pizza. Curbside, dine-in, and delivery. Fong's Pizza. No rules, just great pizza.
3:30, back with you here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Hope you have a great weekend, as Sunday not looking too bad weather-wise. Could see a little bit of rain tomorrow as we get that weekend started here in the month of April. Again, we'll keep you updated on what's happening at Augusta National. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson will not make the cut, though. The 2007 champion, with a 2-over-par 74 today. He sits at plus 7 for the tournament. Cut line still at plus 3 right now. 55 golfers are at plus 3 or better. So, again, we'll keep you updated on that. 319-366-1600. Scott and Mark Buttons with you here on a Friday. Spring football is underway, and the Iowa Hawkeyes, with a couple of open practices that you will be able to go take in, socially distant, and to talk about that and all things spring football, and wrap up a little bit about the basketball season. Our friend Scott Docterman from The Athletic joins us here on a Friday edition of the show. And happy spring to you, Scott. How you been?
I've been well. I'm glad that everything is kind of going well in the spring for everybody, and other than a few rain showers, I think it's been a great week. How about you guys?
Well, those April showers bring May flowers. That's what my grandma always told me.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I'm going to stick with that. And normalcy again. We're back to spring football, and things to talk about, positions to iron out, storylines to take a look at anyway, and. Don't know a whole lot about it. Haven't seen the Hawkeyes as of yet. But going into spring, what were some of the things that you were looking forward to seeing if the Hawkeyes addressed?
I think there were three critical areas for Iowa going into the spring that they needed to have some clarity, probably some positional design on. And number one, I would probably say, is defensive line. I mean, three straight years they've lost three or more starters. At least two of them are going to get drafted in a couple of weeks. Another one will get signed seconds after the draft, if not drafted late. So they've got every year they seem to, in the last handful of years anyway, they've done a nice job of replacing those players. But you can't always do that at a place like Iowa. Now, so I think being able to kind of bridge that gap. They only have one senior, and he's a super senior. You know, he's around for an extra year, and Zach Van Valkenburgh, and then the rest are, there's kind of a gap. And so which several of the younger players, both kind of new upperclassmen, juniors, versus some of the, you know, redshirt freshmen, are going to be able to elevate themselves and not only start, but put themselves in a rotation. I think that was really my biggest question going into the spring. Secondly, it's going to be a tackle, offensive tackle. When you lose Alec Jackson, a four-year starter, a very good player for Iowa, he's going to get drafted as well. And Mark Kallenberger elected to retire. Then you've got, you know, two critical spots on both sides, the bookend, the offensive line, and then three, and that's really what everybody wants to talk about, is quarterback. Spencer Petras had some ups and downs. He had some moments where he looked, you know, competent, very good, and then other moments where you're like, you got to get somebody else in there for him. So I think, you know, what kind of strides does he make, as well as the quarterbacks, the second and third quarterbacks, what strides do they make to see if this is going to be a legitimate competition, a potential controversy, or if it's going to be, hey, it's Spencer's job and nobody else is touching him. So those are the three primary areas I looked at coming into the spring.
Scott, I think when folks, observers of college football and University of Iowa, think about the program, they think about offensive linemen and tight ends, especially in recent years. Iowa has turned out so many to the NFL. But the defensive backfield, I'm not so sure is that far behind, if it is. A lot of defensive backs going to the NFL from Iowa. And this year, I don't know if I've seen a deeper group than what Iowa has. How about you?
No, not at all. In fact, they're probably the best secondary coming back in the country. I mean, this is a unit that over the last 4 years has intercepted more passes than any other Power 5 program in the country at 64. You know, it was one of the best defenses in the country, and it returns everybody. And so when you have, you know, some younger players who played well at times and not great other times last year, but they're all returning and they're all going to get better. And then you have the depth. I mean, I really think that, you know, defensive backs 6 through 9 could start at 3/4 of the places in the country. Then they've got a secondary to die for most teams. And as you mentioned, you know, their unit, they've been, I think Ohio State and Iowa are tied for most first team all Big Ten selections since like 2009. I want to say it's 11, and Iowa has more unanimous choices, both coaches and media, than anybody. And you've got to look at, you know, it's Phil Parker. He's a whisperer when it comes to D-backs and, you know, and taking 2-star and 3-star guys and turning them into NFL players. So, you know, after offensive line, there are more defensive backs in the NFL from Iowa under Kirk Ferentz than any other position group. And you look at guys that have made all pro teams in recent years or Pro Bowls. It's come from that secondary. So I expect this to be a really good unit. The one thing it's going to have to do is it's probably going to have to step up a little bit, maybe have, you know, extra fractions of seconds of coverage to help to ensure that the pass rush might have a little bit more opportunity to get a couple of, say, coverage sacks this fall.
Yeah. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic joining us 3:37 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. You mentioned the offensive line, the interior of the offensive line looking very, very stout, obviously, especially as far as the center position is concerned. And it seems like Iowa just keeps churning out great offensive linemen after great offensive linemen. And you mentioned the tackles and who's going to step up right there. And no matter what happens, the Ferentzes are going to find the 5 best guys, and they're going to put them out there. It's just a matter of spring and then the workouts ahead of that first game to find, and maybe even the first game to try to find those 5. But I'm not too worried about the line, but I'm with you. I'm trying to see, and it's going to be curious to see who are going to be the starting tackles in that first game of the year.
Yeah, that's the big question, Scott, is just, you know, how does it all get situated? And I remember thinking back 4 or 5 years ago after Brandon Sheriff left, their options, their 3 options at tackle included 2 walk-ons and a converted tight end who happens to, you know, Ike Bucker, who happens to still be in the NFL and starting for a very good team. But still, you had those options and they were able to make it work. And they played really well for the most part. And I think you look at the unit now and the way Iowa has recruited, they've gotten better that way. They've gotten better players. And so I think they've got depth. They just don't have a lot of experience right now. And as you mentioned, at center, there's no better center in the country than Tyler Linderbaum. And I'll argue that there was no better center in the country last year than Tyler Linderbaum. He's an incredible talent. And a ferocious competitor, and I don't think that there's really anybody that could slow him down on the defensive line very often this year. They've got some talent at guard. I think, you know, Tyler Schott is your kind of your typical Iowa success story. You know, a younger you know, kind of smallish guy, you know, wrestler, works his way into a scholarship, and he's been a really tough player there at guard. And likewise, they've got a lot of guys like Mason Richmond, Justin Britt, Jack Plum, you know, a handful of others that can really step in, and Cody Yance, who is actually out this spring, but they could step in and start and play well. It's just a matter of, you know, can they play well for extended periods of time? And that just remains to be seen. And they have a very challenging two-game stretch to open the season, and they'll get tested right away. But I think they've got the making of a really good unit. We just may not see it in September necessarily.
Scott, shouldn't Iowa fans give Spencer Petras a bit of a pass? I mean, we're talking about he didn't have a spring. He didn't have a non-conference season. And he's entering this coming campaign with six straight wins at the helm. So perhaps you disagree. I don't know.
No, I don't disagree. I do think that everybody should grade him a little bit, you know, weight it a little bit more than normal because he didn't have a spring. He's a new quarterback. It's not like, you know, if it was Nate Stanley competing like that last year, I probably would have been harsher in my criticism. And I do think Spencer has to improve, no doubt about it. And it's, you know, and the team was as good as Iowa's been in a while around him. And at times he was good. I had this in my story a couple of days ago that, when he got rid of the ball before 2.5 seconds, he completed 66% of his passes. So when he kind of knew where the ball was going and he could see the coverage and be decisive with it early in the snap, after the snap, he was very good. After that was where he really struggled, and that's where young quarterbacks do struggle when they have to improvise, when they have to reach their third sometimes target in a passing round. They just don't quite grasp it yet, and he didn't have that camp. He didn't have that spring. He didn't really even have that summer because, you know, their workouts were so limited. So I do think he either gets a pass or you grade it, you know, give him the grain of salt and say, you know what, he didn't have every advantage that he needed to be successful. But that said, he has to get better, and he's got a couple of guys behind him, and Alex Padilla in particular, but also Duke Sogut, a little bit younger, that have a chance to challenge him. And there is a lot of faith in Alex Padilla. So I think this is going to be a fun time for everybody to watch Iowa, in the 17th in the open practice and then the finale on May 1st, to see if Spencer Petras is a little more accurate, decisive, and can hit players on stride. And if he can, it's his gig. And I think, you know, fans are often knee-jerk when it comes to athletes, but I think you got to give them a little bit more of a pass, as you said, Mark.
One position that maybe a lot of people are not looking at, but obviously huge, kicking. Iowa's going to have a new kicker. We've seen him kick off, Caleb Shudak. We know he's got a big leg, but now he's going to step into the other roles as far as medium kicks, short kicks, extra points, what have you. And I don't want to say a lot of pressure on that young man. He is a senior. He has seen the field, but it's a little different when you got a game on the line instead of just kicking off.
Sure is. It's critical. And I will say that this is the year where all of the nice, fluffy rhetoric that's been floated in his direction, where he's got to pay the piper on this. And that is, you know, we've heard about for 2 years that the competition was really close between Caleb Shudak and Keith Duncan, you know, in training camp and throughout the season, that they had faith that he could come in and do all of everything that Keith did. So, okay, that's fine. You know, and Keith had an All-American year 2 years ago. He had a very good year last year. And now it's time for Caleb Shudak to prove that, to back it up. And as you mentioned, Iowa, I'll register a guess that Iowa is going to play about three games this year, that it's going to be within a field goal to one possession where a field goal really matters. And he's going to have to hit it. And we've seen it with Keith Duncan and Miguel Racinos, you know, really nail a lot of those field goals in the, in element and in critical situations. So I think you're going to have to see the same thing out of Caleb Shudick. It could be at Wisconsin, at Northwestern. It could be Indiana and Iowa State early in the year. So he's going to be an important piece to this puzzle for the Hawkeyes, because, you know, you have a miss or two that you're not expecting. We know the difference between, you know, 10-2 and 8-4 in perception and reality, and a kicker goes a long way in settling those.
Scott, discuss some of the younger players that have turned the heads of either the coaches or fellow players. I know Keegan Johnson's name has come up. How about some of those younger guys who we're going to take a look at this fall?
Yeah, I've got a piece on that coming out Sunday. And number one, by far and away, is Y.A. Black. He's a redshirt freshman, already slated to start at defensive tackle, and has been kind of chewing people up in spring ball from what I hear kind of on the side so far. And just a monster player. He wears number 94, so he's wearing the right number, the way things have gone over the last 20-plus years at that position group. But, you know, 6'5", 280, physical player, came from Marshall, Minnesota. I actually saw snaps as a true freshman last year, which is really impressive. So I think he's going to be a machine. And then the other one inside there, I think, is Logan Jones, also a defensive tackle, a different type of player. And Phil Parker compared him the other day to Mitch King. He kind of cringed doing it. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I really want to compare him to him. But you know what? He's already set records in the hang clean and squat, and he's only a redshirt freshman for his position group. And you think about all the big, physical, tough defensive tackles Iowa's had, even over the last handful of years, you know, whether it's Carl Klug to Davion Nixon, Jaleel Johnson, Carl Davis, and Logan Jones has broke all those records. So that's really been a really big lift for the Hawkeyes. So I think those two are going to be really critical. As we've heard earlier this week, some of the defensive backs talked up Keegan Johnson, a four-star. His older brother is going to be an NFL draft pick later this month. I think he's going to be a guy that if he doesn't get in the primary rotation, he's going to be a rotational guy. And then Mason Richmond is a redshirt freshman that they like quite a bit on the offensive line. And I look for him, if he doesn't start, that he's going to be kind of that guard. Sometimes they have like a guy like, say, Kyler Schott and Mason Richmond that'll kind of rotate just to have some sort of experience for a younger player.
Yeah, I saw Logan Jones play a couple times at Lewis Central, and he's a man, and he is an athlete, too. Yeah. Scary athlete. Basketball, real quick, putting the finishing touches on things. Wanted to ask, I've been asking a lot of people this question, how in 20 years are we going to remember this Iowa basketball team? And I kind of preface it by saying, yes, I know Luka Garza, but take out Luka Garza. I guess what is the thing we're going to remember about this basketball team, and is it going to be good memories?
Wow, that's a tough question. My knee-jerk answer is probably not. It won't be remembered very well, and I don't mean that in a negative way. But you know, let's face it. Yeah, the majority of Iowa fans or people who remember at least the Tom Davis era, you celebrate the teams that get to the Sweet 16 or win, you know, Big Ten titles, even tournament titles. And this team didn't do either. I mean, it had a really good regular season, 14 regular season wins, ties the 87 team for the most in school history. It was a top five team even going into March. That's something to be remembered. It was ranked 13th in the country to end the year. That's something to be remembered, but it's not going to have the lasting power of the 99 team. Now, I think this team was way better than that one was. But that said, you got to get to the second weekend to really have that kind of, hey, everybody's going to come and you're going to have a reunion and you're going to celebrate this team. You've got to get to that kind of second weekend and to be a number two seed to get bounced by a seven. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for people to say, can you bring this team back and have a wave in 10, 15, 20 years, as you said? I don't know. I mean, what about the 2016 team? you know, when you look back 5 years ago, that team was ranked as high as number three. It was a number seven seed, and it got bounced in the second round. I mean, is anybody planning to have reunions for Gazelle, Woodbury, Utah, that team? I don't think so. So it's going to probably go down as a disappointing year. Overall, they played pretty well. But unless you get to the second weekend, it's just not going to have that fulfilling ending that you're looking for from a team. And that'd probably be the same way if you are 11-1 or in football, you reach Indianapolis, and then you go to the Outback Bowl and lose. It just doesn't have lasting power, unfortunately.
Yeah. Although, I will say Oregon was underseeded. That was not a seven seed that they lost to. But your point is well taken.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, there are some great players and some great personalities, and that I think everybody should celebrate them maybe individually and certainly think of it fondly as this year. But we've seen reunions for the 80 Final Four team, the 87 Elite Eight team, the 99 team that went to the Sweet 16. But we don't even really see one for the 06 team that won the Big Ten tournament. And that one probably is a little bit more deserving than this one, simply because it has some sort of a banner that doesn't say, it has more than just NCAA tournament qualifier.
Well, Scott, the next big story, if it does transpire, will be which player will Fran McCaffrey pluck in the transfer portal to fill that center position? The reports are that there is interest in Liam Robbins. How about that and any other targets that Fran may be looking at?
Yeah, I've heard a couple of people have talked to, somebody in North Dakota who's from Serbia, and he would seem to be a good fit. I think Rob Howe reported him, and then likewise Tom Kaker talked to, Liam Robbins and he would be a great fit. I really think Iowa needs two players out of the transfer portal to replace not only Garza. You're just not going to replace Garza and what he brought, but to replace him and replace Jack Dungy as a key contributor. And so whether that's to get it, you're going to have to get probably a starting five and a minimum a rotational four out of the transfer portal. And if that's Liam Robbins and the name, I can't even pronounce it, so I'm not going to, from North Dakota. If it's those two players, I think that fits in well. But then if Joe Wieskamp ultimately decides to not only enter the NBA draft process but stay in the draft, then you've got to consider, what kind of replacement is there. I mean, it could be Jordan Bohannon recruiting for a sixth year, which would be a lift. Or it could be, recruiting another player to fit more of that wing role and maybe a driver. So I think they've got to keep their options open. But Iowa has a lot to offer, I mean, I certainly didn't mean to run them down or anything from the last part of, how this team's remembered. But, if you have a top 15 team throughout the course of the season, and you've got a lot there, and plus they have, starting backcourt. And so I think there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It's a different time now in college basketball than we've ever seen before. It's basically free agency. And it's another conference saying that they're the MAC allowing one free transfer. The ACC has done that. It's going to happen sooner than later. And, boy, this thing is going to get really wild sooner than later. So you're going to see turnover on basketball teams that are just going to flip your mind, I think.
Yeah, it's going to get a little bit hectic, and I'm not saying it's all bad. There's some of it that makes me cringe a little bit, because I do think that when you get to a situation where if you're somewhere between like 10 and 13 on a roster, you probably are evaluating if you made the right decision or if you're at the right school for you, and that's not really a problem. I think if I was a mid-major or a low-major school, I would be really worried about developing a really good player because where they're going to be headed. I mean, if you're a good player at a Valley school or a MAC school, eventually you're going to end up at a Big Ten school or a Big 12 school because they're just a higher level of basketball across the board. So It's gonna change the dynamics of the game. I think it's gonna do the same in football to a lesser extent, and that'll work out almost mutually beneficial in the long run, which is, you know, maybe a handful of players from Iowa end up in the MAC, and a handful of MAC players end up in Big Ten schools. And if you get the best cornerback for, say, a directional Michigan school, and you end up giving them essentially a third-team running back who will start for them, you know, you both end up in a better situation. So, but I do think basketball has a chance to really kind of explode and become a, you know, kind of a shell of itself in some form.
Crazy stuff. All right, Scott, hey, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Keep up the great work with The Athletic, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Scott Docterman covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic, joining us here at 3:55. We'll take a break, come back, get you updated what's happening in round number two at Augusta when we return after this here on KGYM.
Now at Menards, save big on your next project with 11% off everything. Update your home with new flooring from Shaw. Add comfort with soft and luxurious carpet. Transform the look of any living space with durable laminate flooring. Vinyl plank flooring is waterproof and clicks together for an easy installation. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through April 10th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Twins baseball is back for the 2021 season. Are you ready to get live?
And it's gone! Target Field explodes!
Make sure we can prioritize your seat at Target Field by visiting twinsbaseball.com/season tickets today. With flexible ticket plans available, you'll want to make sure you're in our house for all the exciting Twins action.
Grand Slam Sano!
He is out!
Twins fans are here.
Baseball is back for the 2021 season.
And we are back. Hello, friends, and welcome. We didn't have a hello, friends, yet for 2 days, Mark, so I had to get one in, right?
As it should be.
As it should be out there. 3:56, Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Don't forget to check out the poll question at kgymradio.com. And don't forget, we still have our Z102.9 wedding show information up and ready for you at weddingdaya.com. You'll be able to check out the fashion show featuring beautiful gowns from Heart to Heart Bridal and the latest looks from Prince Albert Tuxedos and Suits. That's at weddingdaya.com, part of the Z102.9 wedding show. And Mark, Will Zalatoris, one behind now as he puts up Birdie finish, 16, 17, and 18. He is one off the lead of Justin Rose. The most interesting development of the last half hour, Siwoo Kim, in a fit of rage, breaks his putter on 15. And is putting now with some sort of a hybrid piece of furniture.
Yeah, it looked like a driver he's going to putt with, but... Yeah, I wonder if they sell putters in the Augusta National Pro Shop. They probably do, right?
He'll find one.
These guys have their equipment replaced very easily, but not a smart move on Siwoo Kim's part. But Will Zalatoris, one of the big stories, all 6'2", 165 pounds of him.
Yeah, and is he going to be the third ever to win the Masters, and the first since Fuzzy Zeller in 1979 to win the Masters on their very first trip. That is a big pill to swallow, but we shall see if it all plays out. We gave our picks. Do you want to? We'll amend our picks now, Mark. If you can amend your pick, are you still going with JT?
I think I am. He's three back right now. I'm going to stick with Justin Thomas.
Boy, I like Thomas. I like Thomas. How about my dark horse? So watch out for Matsuyama. He's putting well. And if that is the case, we'll see. We'll talk and break down the Masters on Monday. Mark, have a good weekend.
You as well. Talk to you then.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at dinner.